fresh, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
You're listening to the new Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening to our listeners. Thank God for another Saturday. It's always a privilege to come here. We are Eben, and we have from now till 9 p.m. to have an interesting discussion. Thank God this week I have Pastor Billy joining again, and we are going to continue what we started. We've had 6 editions on this topic, but last week I was alone, but today he's with us, and I think you are going to be blessed as we discuss the things this evening. And it's very interesting the feedback parents are giving. Some are very, very shocked by the things they are hearing. And for the purpose of this series, I don't go into much of the news because of I need a lot of time for these topics. So that's why. But one news item drew my attention this week. I got the attention of it, and we'll look at that news. It's very worrying in Ashanti region, and where you had a student shooting 2 colleagues. And it's serious, you know. When I saw it yesterday, I said, this gun thing, taking a gun to school for what? So let me quickly open that news. Okay, that was on City News. It says that, okay, Ashanti region, 2 students shot by classmates at Adventist SHS. So 2 students at Seventh-day Adventist in Bantama in Ashanti region have seriously been injured in a shooting incident on campus on Friday, April 4, 2025. According to reliable sources within the school, the incident occurred during break time they shouldn't have mentioned the student's name because this is a minor. So when a Form 2 student brought a gun to school, and an argument reportedly ensued among the students over whether the weapon was functional. In an attempt to prove it was, he allegedly fired the gun, accidentally shooting and injuring 2 students. And one sustained critical gunshot wound to the forehead. Actually serious. and was rushed to Kwadaso Hospital, but was later referred to Komfanoche Teaching Hospital due to the severity of her condition. The Swami police have arrested the boy and initiated a full investigation into the incident. Okay, so I sent it to I sent it to him, I mean, Pastor Billy, last night when I saw the news, and he said, "Eben, we'll talk about it." It's worrying. It's worrying because one wonders exactly the motivation. Why do you want to take a gun to school to go and show off, to go and flex? Yeah, I have a gun. From your exposure and dealing with students, what do you think will be the motivating factor?
I think the next thing I thought about years ago was that GBS should really sit up, and the school authorities should also sit up. Reason being that you saw students going to schools with dangerous weapons. Some were going with knives, others were going with scissors, and some were also going with gun. In fact, the guns were few. The guns were few, but of late, you know, it started as an experiment. In fact, most of the things that are happening in the schools started as experiment, and now it has moved to experimental stage to a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So they want to show off, and in this generation where there's this gangsterism, where like a group of people, some of them have gone for protection. So when you shoot them, it doesn't penetrate.
Yeah, some more
students. So they can go out and try it. Others are also into, I mean, we've heard cases where students were involved in armed robbery cases. Yes, so some of them also have their gun with them, and that is what they do. It's not everybody, every student that has gun go for armed robbery, but we have some of them they use for that purpose, and others they also want to show off that this is what they have, this is what they can do. So schools are not safe. In fact, a lot of things are being taken to schools by students. Some of them, if it's about drugs, even do you know that sometimes they hide the drugs in bread. They hide some of the drugs in their shito and gari.
So that when teachers
teachers will not know that this is what they are. So it has become a lifestyle. And that is why we have cases where students have dangerous weapons on them when they are in school. They carry it when they are going for, especially, you know, when they were going for Intako.
Yeah, Intako, I saw some
of students had
weapons.
Yes, weapons with them. So that is what they've been doing. And that is what is happening now. That is the trend now.
This week, someone sent me a message in one school in the central region there about it. A student used scissors to, you know, hit, seriously stab another student.
Yes.
It's gotten so bad that some students are even calling their parents that they should come and take them from the school, right? Because so much blood. I mean, you have instances where blood will be on the floor, in the hall, in the classroom, attacks. And it's sad because, you know, when I look at all this and I keep asking, so what happens to those students? They are not sacked. Nothing happens. And I say, see, I know of a school in Accra where even Form 3s beat Form 1s with the blunt side of a cutlass. The school authorities made it a police case. The boys were arrested. They've been dismissed. So you see, ultimately, it's the head who is to blame. Because if these things keep, okay, I mean, one-off events, fine, you can be pardoned. But if it's consistent, then ultimately, the head should be blamed.
In fact, some of them, they also want to protect their interests. Some of them were there, they were put there by the old students. In fact, there are some schools that you cannot become head of that school if you are not an old student.
Yeah.
And for you to also be there, people must put you there. you understand? People must put you there. So if you want to punish somebody and they say that, hey, you can't do this, you can't. So there are schools that when students misbehave, you can't punish them.
The powers that be.
Yes, you can't punish them. So if you have more of such schools, it means that we're going to have more of such cases happening where students will not be punished. I mean, there are minor things, but there big ones where
the criminal things, these are criminal.
Sagged there. No. There's no way.
Because how do you stab someone and it's not treated as a criminal case? The police has to. I mean, you see, where blood is shed. But you see, it's worrying because you have these occult groups and some are seeking blood. So yes. Some are causing these things on purpose. They need to shed blood. And this is happening in schools. And, you know, it's a bit disturbing.
And talking to students, you see, some of them are also being controlled by spirits.
Oh, yes, certainly.
Yes. So, counseling people, counseling students, that is what they tell us. That some of them will tell you that, no, I'm there and I'll hear a voice. He said, go and do this. I'll have the urge to go and do this. I feel that I should go and do this. But there are quite a number of them where those who are into occultic, that they are there and they will tell you that a spirit will tell you that I need blood, go and kill somebody. The last but one mission that we had, there was this young boy that I was counseling, and he said that, in fact, had it not been the mission in their school, he was going to commit a crime. Yes, because he was there and the spirit was telling him that he should go and, I mean, he had knife in his, how do you call it, the troubles. So the spirit was telling him that he should go and stab somebody. So he feel like, and that thing has been so consistent that he was going to do it until we came to that school for that mission. So that Friday night, when the Lord touched this young boy.
Wow.
So Saturday he came, he was one of those people that I had counseled. He came and told me that, in fact, had it not been the mission, that Friday night he was going to stab somebody because he could hear spirits pushing him that go and kill, stab somebody. So that was what he was going to do.
So a compulsive, spirit.
So you have some of them committing some crimes and
it's beyond their control.
Yes, it's not they are doing. It's out of control. They are being pushed by some spirit to go and do that. So these are some of the things that are happening in the school. Some of them spirits controlling them. Some of them is also they want to show that, I mean, they have power, this gangsterism, they also want to show off, so they do all these things. So these are things, and if we don't do anything, we should expect more of such cases.
So that's exactly what the NAGRAT, or is it NAT or NAGRAT? I think NAT, the General Secretary, said that soon we'll be having the military patrolling our schools, and because of the level of crime and things going on. It's disturbing because when I got to know that in one of the schools, I mean, now some students are panicking and they are calling their parents to come for them and all, because, I mean, to them, they can't take what they keep seeing. It's a recurring thing. It's not just a one-off thing, but this person has assault, real beating, stabbed, hurt, blood flowing. It's serious. And it tells you what is at play. I mean, the powers that be, spiritual powers, I mean, forces at work in the school, some of the schools. And it's unfortunate that we have some instances where some institutional heads resist any attempt by SU to come and do programs, intentionally frustrating you. I remember one friend said he took a letter on his own, like he has his own solo missions he does to schools and all that. And in one of the schools after he sent the letter. It's like, I mean, the letter was just thrown in the dustbin.
Yeah, for some, they will do that. But you see, we also thank God that heads of some schools, in fact, we are getting more of such, calling us that we should come to their schools for missions.
Wow.
Because things are really getting out of control. And it is they've seen that it is beyond them.
Mm-hmm.
It is beyond the physical. Yeah. So they need God's intervention. And I must say that God is also helping us to really move to more schools.
Wow.
Yes. So now, the challenge that we are having, as Scripture Union, the challenge that we are having is that we have a lot of cases and we have few counselors to help us to talk to these young ones.
Okay, this one, pause, and let me talk about this briefly. If you've been listening to this season, I mean, this discussion, this series on SU and all that is happening, and you are led to be of assistance, to help, support financially, help SU as well as, I mean, your time being part of the team when they are going to some schools, you'll be on notice. So if you can be of help, you're available, you can join. Please send your number. I mean, your number, should I give it out?
Yes, we can give the number so that those
who so mention the number so that,
yes, for those who want to join our mission team, the number to call is 026 another 26139 23 if you call, we will talk, and then we'll let you know a school's schedule for missions so that you can prepare yourself to join us.
Yeah. So since he's already in the studio, so you rather save the number and send a hi or send a message like WhatsApp or SMS, you are interested, and he'll reach out to you, Godwin, I mean, tomorrow.
And let me quickly share few testimonies out of these missions.
Yeah.
There was a young guy that I cancelled. His father is a leader of a church I don't want to mention. And this young boy who is in Form 2 says that I don't believe there's a God. He goes to church.
Okay.
He says that I don't believe God exists. I don't believe there's a God.
Hmm.
Until this young boy was touched by God, he came to accept Christ. Another one, I had an unforgiving spirit for my father because he cheated on my mother. Form 1 student. I was engaged in prostitution.
Wow.
I was engaged in prostitution. But through the mission, I feel unburdened. The recent one that we had for schools, we can't mention schools, we won't do that.
Yeah.
The recent one, Sunday testimonies that came, somebody wrote and said, I thank God for this mission. Form, I think form 1 or form 2, I caused, I think, about 4 or 5 abortion.
Hey, Charlie.
So the head of the school was, what? form 1 or form 2 students, 4 or something abortions. And we have countless number of young people who are struggling with cases of masturbation, lesbianism. They are struggling. They really want to come out of it.
Yeah.
But who is going to help them to come out of it? So it's been God's grace that we're able to reach out to them and we help them. But there are more of such cases. For some of them, you have to pray for them. You have to deliver them from that.
Yeah.
For some of them, you really need to talk to them and guide them so that they can know how to go about their daily lives in order to abstain from said things. But we have cases where people have guns, students come to us, people have pot,
cuckoo,
pot, cuckoo, students who have pot, cuckoo, with things in it in their troubles.
Yes,
students. And let's, some schools, at least some teachers are aware, but they are few.
And I heard there are also schools where the teachers themselves, some are seeking transfers because they feel.
Yes, we have some of them who are also part of. But we have students who have put in their job six. At night, they don't even sleep. We have students who also have drugs in their buses, job buses. We have students who have dangerous weapons in their job buses, or they hide them, including guns, including knives. You know, the military and the police have some knives.
The
one that they press and it comes out. Yeah. They have all these things, yes, with them.
No, but you see, in all the things you are mentioning, I'm just thinking backwards. When I was in secondary school back then, and you see, clearly there's a deficit of oversight in terms of the house parents and house masters, because years back in our school, for instance, I mean, they come around randomly, open your chop box. I mean, these things were done in most schools years back. So it also means that now the house masters are not doing enough, because some will say that, well, the rooms are so packed that you don't even have a place to step yourself.
That is it.
People are sleeping on the floor, chop boxes filled everywhere, no space to even do inspection, a proper inspection. So you see, this overcrowding in the dormitories is also opening up for lack of proper oversight.
And then the number, you see,
yeah, the numbers,
number,
yeah,
it's
something else.
It's too much, so they cannot really handle them. So you can't really. You also have other responsibilities. So house masters, some of them are doing their best, but you see, it's not enough because of the numbers. So I mean, how much can they do? They can't do so much. So they are. Some of them are doing their best. Others, they are not doing anything.
Someone said the consequence of free things have consequences, and it's one of the consequences we are paying for.
Yes. The other thing, let me say, also share one thing. You see, God is also using us medically. We've had cases. Let me read just one. We have a lot of healing taking place. During the ministration, the pastor prayed for all who were having issues with menstruation. I had issues with the flow. It wasn't flowing well. After the prayers, I felt some pain. And this morning, I menstruated. And thank God for healing me. I surrender all my life to Him. So God is also using the missionaries to heal a lot of people.
Wow.
God is using the missions to deliver a lot of people. And we also have career guidance and counselors with us. So if it's about academic, yes, then we also give it to them so that they can also guide them. So we need all kinds of people professionals to also come and help us, because we don't go there to deal with only the spiritual, even though our focus is to help them with the spiritual issues.
Psychological
issues, emotional issues are there, academic issues are also there. So we go with a team that consists of people who are into deliverance, people who are into guidance and counseling. People who are into career guidance, and they also help them. So we have all kinds of people and thank God we are getting medical doctors to also join the team, where we also offer free medical screening for schools. In fact, we want to do more of such things, that when you go to a school for missions, then we do medical screening alongside, because there are medical issues that we think that some of them are not even aware. Some of them are not even been aware that they have those issues. So when they do the screening, then they can also refer them to hospital so that they can also be healed. So we don't look at only the spiritual aspect, but also look at the physical aspect. We also look at the mental aspect of the young ones that so that is what we also do.
So listeners, you know, the scripture union is really doing a lot. we've heard the challenges, we've heard the issues happening in our schools, and clearly you would agree that there's a need for more spiritual attention on these kids in the schools. And we've looked at the negatives, the positives, the good, what is happening, the bad, what is happening, the role of the parents and all that. But then we want to also now come back to the issue of the side of the parents again, because ultimately a lot of these things, the solution starts, or the lack of solution thereof, rather, I mean, it starts from the home.
Mm.
The absence of parents, the lack of communication between parents and their children, the issue of parents being ignorant about the times we are in and how the things are happening in the schools and all that. I mean, what is your candid advice, if you have two major advices or pieces of advice you give to parents, what would you admonish in the context of all these things we've talked about?
One, I believe in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly believe in prayer, that prayer works.
Yeah.
So prayer should be number one. As mm-hmm. your child goes to school or your ward goes to school, pray for.
Mm-hmm.
As they are in school, continue to pray for. When they come back home, pray for. I'm saying this because of... Now, let's take the issue that instead that happened at SDA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an innocent child is in school and somebody pulls a gun,
mm-hmm.
shoots it, and somebody is affected.
Yeah.
You understand? So, it can be your child. It can be anybody's child,
mm-hmm.
who is affected by this incident.
Yeah.
That is why you need to pray for. And then we also need to, we said it repeatedly, that parents should continuously ask their children to be content with what they have.
Contentment is a key issue.
Is a key. Because you see, if you are somebody who is not content with what you have, and somebody gives you the little thing, you take it for somebody, and it's now not safe. You know, we are talking about where they are using medicine, drugs that they use to boost pigs' libido. Egg for sex.
You said you talk yes. about it. We'll talk
yes, so.
About that. Hey, listeners, things are happening. No, this week I was shocked when I heard that.
We talk about the fact that even when you go for funerals and parties, even the egg. Now these days, you go for funeral and they give you eggs. Kusia, Yanoa, with
Kusia,
and some of them are not safe.
This world,
especially if it's a party. For funeral, then. But if it's for party, don't take it. And that kusuya with pepper is very expensive. Some of them you can order online. They order online. Things are happening. Kusuya, and it's expensive. You just like you are ordering food, watching or something. So our generation is not safe. Now back to this thing that we're talking about. You know, they have medicine, so they have some drugs that they give to female pigs. So they give it to them so that they'll have
their libido
will increase. Uh-huh. And now they mix it with toffee, and they have their own ways of mixing it, even with chocolate. So ask your children to be very careful not to be taking toffees and chocolate from people. You see, this is the effect. Now, somebody can, if you're a lady, somebody can give you the toffee, and when the person gives you the toffee or the chocolate and you eat, then you have the edge for sex until you are satisfied. Even 10 men can sleep with you and might not be satisfied. You might not be satisfied.
What a generation.
So your child can, somebody is eating chocolate, oh, give me some, and the person will give, also maybe holding chocolate and say, oh, take it. And
you.
If you are not careful and you take it, if those who are into lesbianism, a girl can give to a girl. And you know, the other effect is that, you see, if you are not satisfied, you can use other objects.
Mm.
And that is how it works. Because until you are satisfied, You need to satisfy yourself. I think years ago, a lady killed herself.
Mm-mm.
Because she was giving and the guy could not satisfy her, and he brought, I think, two or three of his friends. They still couldn't, and the lady used bottle and other things, and at a point in time she could not take it anymore, so she ended her life.
Wow.
So they are giving gift to people. Spiritually, it can affect your child.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, they can also use that one to also give you that edge for sex, and the person will sleep with you, or the person will be using their fingers and other things to do all kinds of things. So teaching your children consistently
to be content
with what they have is key. And also trying your best to pray to God to help you to get somebody who would also help you to monitor your child. You see, gone are those days where, you see, if you live in an area or community,
the adults are
yes, but that thing is gone. So when a child is somewhere and has his freedom, he can do anything that he wants to do. But if you pray to God for God to guide you to get the right people, because it's not everybody that you ask him or her help you to monitor your child. Some of them are also going to take advantage. But thank God we also have good people who would also do that. So you need to pray to God to guide you so that you can get somebody who will help you help monitor your child.
And I was at a parents program the last year or so, and one of the speakers talked about a prayer that she prays for her children, that it's like, I've forgotten the exact wording, but I'm paraphrasing it, like God should let them feel like they should not be able to sin when the temptation comes to sin.
Mm.
So that at the point of sinning, the Holy Spirit should arrest them, cause them to feel so guilty at the point of sinning that they will give up. And these are all prayers we need to pray now, because the temptations that this generation, they are exposed to is serious. On the issue of food thing, I recently heard, that was just barely 2 weeks or so ago, I was told of a case of a pastor, I won't mention the denomination, and he went to a funeral in his hometown, somewhere in the Ashanti region. And they were eating. When he got there, went to the home, the family house, his home, they were about to eat fufu and the soup and all that. And he said, he will eat some. They say, Sofo, do you know it? In bed, maybe I knew. So he thought, they say, maybe I knew. Did you understand? The coded message. So, they give him the soup he ate. Then after, it's about 2 or 3 hours. Now, he started jumping like a monkey. There was drag in it.
Yeah.
He started jumping, he was seeing things, and it's like Charlie serious. So they had to call, because Sunday he has to preach back in Kumasi.
Wow.
So they had to call and so far back no crew na no home for none. The generation is in trouble.
Yes.
So the person who was saying this was saying that now. If you go somewhere and the person doesn't want to give you the food by using excuses and all, advise yourself, because they know what they are eating. So if they try to use coded messaging and trying to divert your attention and all that, you shouldn't just follow food blindly and you eat something and you'll be jumping like a monkey.
Yeah, it happened to a friend, but he was fortunate. His friend is a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And a pastor had died, and they had gone for the funeral. Mm-hmm. So a group of young pastors gathered somewhere. They went to a place and they were going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So he went with his friend. So they brought food from their car, one of the pastor's car, and they were going to eat. Yeah. Then he said that he said that the pastor friend told him, Edwin, wait there, may nibi. Then he said he pulled him and told him that don't, I will tell you why. So he said it was later on. He couldn't tell him the whole thing, but he said that it's not everything that you are supposed to. So it's a warning. Anytime you go to a place and you are fortunate for them to advise you not to take it.
Oh yeah.
Thank your staff.
Oh yeah, you have that to follow. Oh yes.
Yeah, you were fortunate to be advised not to take it, because it's not everything that you're supposed to. Yes.
I was told most of the most, they said the same. Those who sell sobolo around and all, they have two versions. They put it that way, or two types. So the members only one is higher. The cost is higher than
Normal sobolo. Yes.
And so that one is drug laced, and those who know, they have a way of communicating, and that's what they will pay for. I mean, the higher dose one, and this higher dose one, a friend went to, Usuari, one of the restaurants, with a guest from Germany. So he ordered for sobolo and think, you know, look at drink Ghanaian, patronizing made in Ghana. No, so he drank it. Apparently, they gave him one of those drug laced one, and the way he felt, said for about a week, he had to go to Kolebu, they had to test his blood and the drugs in his blood and all that. He really went through a lot. I mean, he was telling me this himself.
Yeah, now there's this spots that we have in the night, those that operate in the night. Very careful.
And the youth are flocking to these places.
And
it's serious.
The thing is, I know initially all these things that we were talking about were at the SHS level. And we started talking about it at the basic level. Now it is at the primary level. Primary school people are now getting themselves involved in some of these issues that we are talking about. Wow. This is something that we need to really pray about it. Primary. I mean, it was SHS.
JHS.
But now, it is at the primary level. So we are no more safe.
Wow. This is also primary.
Just like when we started talking about occultism, it was at the tertiary level. So we were looking at tertiary. And now, occultic at the secondary school. And now, occultic at the basic. Now it is, some of these things are moving gradually to primary level.
Hey.
So you don't say that my child is young and he's not exposed. People, young people at this young age, at a primary level, are exposed to a lot of things that parents don't even know anything about.
I went to do evangelism with a friend at a community on the Divine Road a few years back. I think it was a year before the COVID. Yeah, I think 2019 or so. And for the children that came in the community, they're about 50, between 50 and 60, the number. And this friend asked how many of them, and we are talking of the larger percentage of the children were primary category, the ages. How many have been exposed to sexual content or watch that? Madam, lifting their hands, almost all except about two. And we are talking of children, I mean, primary children, as young as we can imagine, three, four, I mean, class three, class four, class, I mean, all those young. And it's like, wow. You see, so there's a deficit of parental control, one. There's a deficit of societal conscience. Because the society has no conscience in the first place. Because whoever allows these children to come and watch these things, clearly, I mean, the conscience is broken.
Mm.
You see, so the society is broken. And unfortunately, some parents are also broken without knowing what to do, have no knowledge about. I can dare say, if we were to follow up on these children. Maybe over 90% of these parents would have said they have no idea their children have watched or are watching these things.
No, they are not.
They have no idea.
They are not aware.
It shows that some parents are failing because they have no idea what their children are exposed to when they leave home. Man, because they grab, I mean, they just going to play. They don't know where they are going to, what they go to do, who they go and play with, whatever happens. And no one say evening, then they come home.
And that double standard life, sometimes when some of the issues we have to bring in parents, mm-hmm. and some of them when they come, they are really shocked to hear that their children are involved in mm-hmm. these arts. Some of them, I remember one of them, pastor that I mean of a big church, and when we called the man and said, no, it can't be my daughter. No. It can't be my daughter. Until he came with a wife, and the head of the school was there, and we said this and that and that. This is it. The mother was weeping. Not crying, weeping. And the man was just there like that.
Speechless.
Because he knows, according to him, he knows his daughter. And there's no way. Because when he said, we need to see you, this is what your child is involved in. And if you are not careful, this is what is going to happen. You invited the man said, no, it can't be. Maybe somebody else. She gave us your number. Mm-hmm. We are calling you. So please, we beg you, you come. So we have cases where parents don't even believe mm-hmm. that their children are involved in this art or they are doing this. Until, and sometimes some of them the children will even tell you, or the student will tell you that, oh, this thing, my parents, even if you tell them, they will even believe that I am into this.
Yeah,
they won't even believe because they trust me so much, and I don't even go out. When I go to school, when I go home, you go to church,
Saint
go
at to next
week. No. So we shouldn't really. I mean, we should trust God to help us, but we shouldn't be so overconfident that we believe so much that our children. I mean, the case happened at KNUST. Mm-hmm. A lady was living with one of the lecturers.
Mm-hmm.
One of the lecturers said that they don't allow this girl to go out except to go and buy something at the commercial
area. Yeah,
then she comes. Before they realized, the girl was pregnant. Somebody who doesn't go out.
By who? How? By when? Who? All the questions will come up.
So ask all kinds of questions. She doesn't go out.
Mm-hmm.
Except to go and buy this thing and just come in. So we should believe our children, but we shouldn't be over.
Of course, yeah.
That I mean, they can't do, because there are a lot of things that are going on that they don't even know. And you see, as parents, you're always busy going out to make money to take care of the children. So mm-hmm. how many of us have time? Even you come home so tired, you these days with traffic, you leave early in the morning,
contact
and and you come back home late. So how many, and the child is also in school. When they are on vacation, they are also going to classes, mm-hmm. they are doing this, they don't. So they have contact with things that are destroying them. They have more contact with things that are destroying them more than things that will even help them. Because once they come, you think that they are doing their assignment, they are doing this and that and that. But they have phones. They have access to phones. And the phone is also one of the medium through which, making them so much exposed to a lot of things.
The
phone is really not helping us at all.
It's a whole Pandora box.
You try this, you see these things that you didn't know. Now you get to know through your phones, and then you are introduced into it. You want to try it. They see the things and they want to experiment it. So they try it and then they want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And we are there.
You know, the... yesterday I was a facilitator in a digital parenting conference. Okay. It was online, a webinar online. And next week there will be another one on campus. That one will be in person. Okay. I think I have to get the details and share. And it's serious because when the questions after I was the second facilitator when I was speaker when I finished, then the questions. It's worrying how some parents have allowed their children to have devices, young children to have devices, and now they are struggling to contain and control. You see, it's very serious because, you see, when you admonish parents that let's be careful about these things, oftentimes it's like, oh, you shouldn't be too extreme and all that. But then the issue is we are contending with a very strong force in the world now. These devices are not something that we joke with. So when you caution parents, people should really take it serious that, yes, it's not just cautioning for cautioning's sake, but it's for a good purpose and a good reason why we are doing these things. And I'm looking for some lyrics, and I don't know if I can find it, but it's such a serious thing and a serious time we are in, because the system, there's this song and it says that, you know, okay, where is it? Okay, I was looking for, okay, I don't know whether I shared this last 2 weeks when we were three boys attempting to kill their mother because she turned off the Wi-Fi at home in Houston, Texas. And it's very worrying and sad because teenagers take knives and chase their mother out of the house because they were going to stab her. Actually, they planned to kill her. So she had to run, and they were chasing her out of the house. And I saved the, okay, so the comments, I just saved some of the comments on the news site, and this was Fox News. And so some were saying that the children should be taken to detention, yes, because it's a criminal thing. And one says that, one something coach says, the internet is an awesome invention, but it came along with lack of discipline. And it's destroying our youth.
Yes.
Someone wrote that sometimes we reap what we sow. The problems here started long before the assault. And I agree. I hope they get the counseling and discipline, including the accountability for their actions, that they need. This is very sad. This didn't happen overnight. Mom is part of the problem here. My kids get 2 hours Saturday and Sunday for their video games, and that is it. My twin boys 10-18 yesterday, they got their first phones 4 days ago. And this I agree with. They are fulfilled, successful people. Real life is great. Go try it out. And then the last comment I'm reading. As a teacher, I can't believe it. Many students immediately hate you if you dare insist they get off their phones and pay attention in class. The school district does nothing but undermine teachers who try to prevent the addiction to phones. If I were a student, I wouldn't want to be separated from my phone. That's a direct quote from an administrator. It's an upside-down world. And as sad as this is, we have instances of children, a child who killed the mother because the mother said the child is playing too many games and is not doing the homework on time and all. You see, so, but one of the comments was, it didn't start, the problem started way earlier. They are now teenagers, but the problem started when they were younger. The parents are sometimes to be blamed for the circumstances their children are in now because, so we pamper them in their wrongdoing along the way, forgetting that this is creating an addiction. Let me just briefly summarize there. I think I discussed with you, I shared with you the link last week, yes, there was a very interesting discussion on the addiction, the drugs menace in the country and all that. And one of the scientists or the specialist talked about something, and I agreed with him so much because, you see, the addiction issue that we talk about, people always associate addiction with drugs, but now we have an addiction of even phones.
Yes.
And even adults, some there are a lot of adults now who are addicted to phones, their devices. They can't separate, I mean,
no.
Even for 10 minutes, they can't separate themselves from the phone. So, you see, this is what is happening in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that when you understand the seriousness of it, you see why we should be serious with these warnings we talk about. The human brain, naturally God created it to give, I mean, secrets, chemical like the dopamine, yes, which is like it gives the satisfaction and reward. It's like the reward system in your brain to get satisfied, you're happy with something. And we get small doses of it in various normal natural activities, even like eating food, meeting friends, chatting with your siblings, I mean interacting with your neighbors, your friends, your parents. All these things give you some natural, I mean, you can't explain it, but you feel satisfied when you meet your friends and you chat, and you know that social life, friendship, normal friendship, eating, playing games, all these things. I'm talking of like, I mean, normal games we used to play, playing Ludo, playing our outdoor games, football. So we're getting normal doses that keeps us going. God created it naturally that way. Now these electronic devices, social media being part of it, the games, video games being part of it, the phone itself, and the, you know, the video, everything, and the, aside the drugs and all these things, you are getting extreme levels of dopamine being released into your brain. So you are getting greater satisfaction than usual.
Yeah.
And that is where the addiction comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So you are always now very satisfied, extremely, when you do this activity. So that's why you always want to go back there. So that's how come the junkies on the drug,
mm-hmm,
they just can't get off it, because that's what gives them that sharp dose, quick dose, that is higher. It's more fulfilling than all the normal human activities, mm-hmm, that give small doses. So if I can get I can get 80% quick dose to fill that space, make me happy at that quick dose once. Whilst I'll just take, if I eat, or if I live in a clean environment, I clean my room, all those ones, maybe 5%, small, when they're heading. He just wants a quick, sharp one, a 90% boost, then he's there. So just as the drug users get that sharp boost and they feel satisfied and they want to maintain it, it's the same for social media, mm-hmm, the same for video games, the same for this phone addiction thing. So people are addicted, and for adults it's even a problem. So when children as young as 2 and all are exposed to tablets, you are creating a very serious thing. And what people don't know is, if you talk to any neuroscientist, they will confirm to you that the neurons in the brain can be rewired, and that's what addiction does. So we are rewiring our brains, the neurons in our brains, by the activities we are doing, which is making us addicted to these things. So the addiction is a very serious issue, and parents have to understand that. That's why experts, psychologists, neuroscientists and all are agreeing that just 2 hours of digital usage for children is good for them. Screen time up to 2 hours is safe and it's normal.
Recently, I've been running training program for people, artisans,
mm-hmm,
and the young ones among them. You know, before we start the program, one of the rules is that your phones might be on silent or off.
Concentration.
Trust you me. People cannot, even for just 5 minutes, they cannot.
It's serious.
Without serious. Using the phone.
It's serious.
And if you are found using your phone, you have to pay money. And people are paying and still they are using it.
See, that's the brain has been rewired.
When they are eating, when they are washing,
they just can't
visiting
go
the washroom, they are using it. When they are walking, they are using
on the streets,
their phone.
Recently, I was driving somewhere and I saw the man coming. So it wasn't the highway, just a side way going home. And so I slowed down and I was watching him. I had seen him. So I was just slowed down and I was just watching him coming. He was in the middle of the road itself, looking at the phone. So when now he lifted it, hey, a car is right in front of him. You see, and it's serious in as much as the brain gets rewired to the addiction mode. You can rewire it to the correct mood.
Sure.
And that's like taking someone off drugs. That's it.